At the very start of July, the Las Vegas Sun took a page from the playbook of Mark Twain. The reports of its death, we were told, were greatly exaggerated. The Sun's future looked grim last summer when three of the four siblings who owned the paper voted to dissolve the agreement keeping it in business. But now Brian Greenspun, the lone holdout, has purchased full ownership of the paper and is vowing to keep it in print. Does the move guarantee a bright future for the Sun, or is the paper and the newspaper business in general still headed for a ditch? Brian Greenspun, publisher and owner of the Las Vegas Sun, joins us. Brian, welcome back. Congratulations.
Thanks, Dave. That sounds good. I can go home now.
You go home now. No, not just yet. Okay. Three out of the four owners, your three siblings, wanted to get out of the newspaper business last summer. Now you've stepped forward. You're taking full financial responsibility. Why do you see a business opportunity where your sisters and brother were ready to let the paper go?
Did I say I saw a business opportunity in this?
You didn't say it, but your actions suggest.
Here's the deal as I see it. I've been in this newspaper business before today, certainly with my father a long, long time ago. I never saw it as a business opportunity because my experience, at least at the Las Vegas Sun, was always running to the bank to borrow money to make the payroll so that we could go out and sell an ad so we could collect the money so we didn't have to borrow as much the next month. I mean, that's what it was for 20, 30, 40 years.
And you want to continue that tradition?
I'm an idiot, okay? clearly, I don't want to be so much I believe in the newspaper business. And when I say newspapers, I don't necessarily mean seven-day-a-week print. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. The Greenspun Media Group, as we call it now, is so much more than just the Las Vegas Sun. We've got numerous print products, numerous websites. We cover every part of the spectrum for news and information in this city. The Las Vegas Sun has been a critical part of that. It's the part I love in this whole thing. But to say that this was a business opportunity, let's put it this way. It's an opportunity. I hope it's a business opportunity. But yep. It's one I'm going to take, and it's one I believe that we can figure out. There's nobody, as far as I know, in this country who has figured it out yet.
I would assume, as owners, you and your siblings must all have had access to the same financial information. And I don't think it would be hard to conclude that what your siblings saw led them to conclude maybe it's a good time to step off the boat, jump ship.
Well, you know, I signed a real long agreement with them, and one of the things I'm not supposed to do is talk about what they saw or what they did, so I won't. But what I saw is the glue that holds the media group together, and even in a much larger context, a very important part of this community. As I said, when I grew up in the newspaper business, there were two newspapers. That was it. We didn't have internets and all that other stuff. And this town could have gone in multiple directions the way it grew. And I saw with the Las Vegas Sun a moderating voice, a reasonable voice, and some strong leadership in terms of let's try going this direction. And it was helpful. The town went that direction. I'm not saying it's because of the Las Vegas Sun, but people read, people understood, people learned, and people voted. And to me, that's the function of a newspaper, a news organization. Give people the kind and quality of information that they need to make the right decisions. So it really doesn't matter what others saw in this. What I see in this is partly a responsibility to this community I grew up in and I love, and I want to see it prosper. And a great challenge. I don't know what the answer is, but I am willing, and I have been obviously, to step up and risk pretty much everything to make sure that I'm in the game to figure out how it works. Then, if we figure out how it works and how to keep it going, then it will be a great business opportunity. But I think that's the order this stuff comes
That's
in.
The order it's going to get. Okay. 9 years ago, when the Sun became an insert inside the Review Journal, the paper was getting as much as about $12 million in profit sharing, according to the New York Times. But the amount has dwindled quite a bit. It's about a tenth of that now in recent years. So how much of your own money are you willing to invest to keep the Sun viable?
As much as my wife and my daughter will allow me, okay? And they're pretty strict. But that's correct. It's no secret that newspapers all over the country fell off a cliff. They fell off a cliff in 2008 when the world fell off a cliff. But they were heading toward the edge long before that. And yes, we had a reasonably good deal with the Review Journal in 2005. But we are a reflection on how well they're doing also. So, I'm certainly willing to commit a significant portion of what I have left because it's now my business, as you say. It's now my baby. And I've got a lot of people there counting on me and others to make the right decisions on because it's their futures too. So, yeah, I'm in it.
So when the Sun became an insert, you said the paper would concentrate on investigations and the important stories that weren't being covered. For a time that happened, you got the Pulitzer Prize for Public Service in 2009 for the investigation of deaths at City Center. But the resources and maybe even arguably the quality of the publication slipped since then. Can you restore staff and improve the paper's quality to where you want it?
That's a great question, Dave. And by the way, yes, we won the Pulitzer in 2009. We were a runner-up in 2011. Our websites have won the national awards, comparable awards, 2, 3, 4 years in a row as the best among the very best news websites in the country. So we haven't given up on the quality issue. But clearly when newspapers went off a cliff and revenues went way, way down, something had to give. And the commitment, and this happened nationwide, the commitment to the investigative advocacy journalism, it took a side seat. You know, it was pushed off to the side. Newspapers couldn't afford to keep the kind of writers and provide them the kind of time they needed to do that. The answer to your question is, yeah, we're going to get back to that. But that has a whole lot to do with how this community responds to our newspaper and others. If this community wants it, they will have it. It's like anything else. Somebody at some point is going to have to pay for this. And, you know, we're at this time when the internet is free, so no one wants to pay for it that way. You've got challenges with businesses all over this community, let's say, that aren't advertising the way they used to advertise. So if it's not coming in through advertising and it's not coming in through subscriptions or people paying, you know, to get this information, you might ask, in fact, we ask every day, where is the money going to come from to pay all these great reporters and editors? It's a very good question.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that. And when we have the answer to that, that's when we start getting the kind of investigative reporting that every community needs. We have to do watchdog journalism. That's what we're about.
So what is the size of the staff now compared to 2009? I mean, it's surely not a very large percentage of that figure from 5 years
ago. No, it's not, but it's a far more powerful percentage, let's say. I mean, we have a marvelous group of people. Some veterans, and most of them kids that have grown up, gone through school, been through the whole digital revolution, and understand both the internet, the mobile business, as well as how to write. And they have the same thirst that the veterans had, 20, 30, 40 years ago, for fixing their communities. I mean, these are idealistic people. That's why they get into this business.
Aren't you kind of, in some ways, they may be idealistic and they may be really terrific, but there's still that process of retraining and such. And you have lost the veterans like Marshall Allen and Ellie Berzon in recent years.
We lose them? They write these great pieces.
Yeah,
they're recognized by these
exactly.
top organizations, and God bless them. I would love to have, our alumni, if you will, in all the great places throughout this country.
A pleasant problem. But,
yes,
but it's still
wonderful.
A problem.
Yeah, but there's another Ellie Berzon. There's another Marshall Allen. And we've got a great new group of people here. They came to the Las Vegas Sun because we're doing things there that other newspapers, unfortunately, aren't doing today. Everybody is still struggling trying to figure it out. Yes, we're struggling trying to figure it out, but at the same time, we're doing our very best to move forward. We're not. If you go into our newspaper, we don't look, feel, or act like a newspaper did. It's very quiet. People are thinking. People are drawing. Design is a big part of this whole thing. Writing code is a big part of this thing. And writing stories is the one thing that hasn't changed. You need the people to go out, find the information, get factual information. You need the editors to process it, to vet it, to make sure it's correct, and prioritize it in terms of what they think the public wants to know, needs to know. And now what we have, different from the past, is we have a whole other part of input from the community in terms of what's important to them. Used to have letters to the editor. Remember those? We'd run 3 or 4 a day and on and on and on. We hear constantly now from the community via the internet And some of it's not very pleasant, but we hear it all the time. Why don't you do this? How come you're not looking at that? I don't agree with this. And we're constantly learning. So there's a whole lot more interactivity between us and the people who are reading us. And, you know, frankly, that gets us going in the morning.
We're talking with Brian Greenspun. Earlier this month, he announced an agreement to buy out his brother and sisters, and as a result, he is now the sole owner of the Las Vegas Sun, which he says will continue to publish. Well, you spoke of more stories, you know, wanting to get more stories and such. In the past, you've also said Las Vegas needs another voice. On the other hand, as of late, the Sun hasn't provided a lot of alternative reporting. The paper's got a lot of syndicated copy, articles that appear in other publications. Why should the community support this paper?
You're talking about the Sun, the newspaper, the daily newspaper, what you call the insert. I've never called it an insert. That is correct. And I will tell you, given limited resources in the last 6, 8, 9 months, we started a new product in February. It's called The Sunday. It's available on the stands. It's free. And it's wherever the weekly is, there is a Sunday. Grocery stores, you know, the terrible Herps, all kinds of places. And let me tell you, and that's where we put our emphasis. That's where we put our reporting. And if you pick it up, more importantly, if you stand at the grocery stores on a Saturday night or a Sunday and you watch the people who pick it up, here's the surprise. They're young. They're families, young families. And so when I ask them, I go out on Sunday, I say, why did you pick that up? Because I love to read it. Well, wait a minute. You're under 40. You're not supposed to love to read anything in print. Why are you doing it? He says, first of all, they will tell you, first of all, it's on the weekend when I have time to read it. And number two, the stories in it, they're all local and they're relevant to my life. Mm-hmm. And that's the big that's the big deal. Yeah. So we put our emphasis on the Sunday, and yes, we took our emphasis off the daily.
But it's also free. I mean, and that's you talk about the internet, you know, having trouble monetizing the internet, which everybody's having problems with. Could the same be said of the Sunday?
That it's free?
Well, it's free, and monetizing it is maybe becomes the great challenge.
Well, but the model there clearly is advertising, right? Mm-hmm. But look who we're getting. We're getting people, I'm making the number, it could be 18, but let's say 21 to 55, well, heck, 21 to all the way up. We're getting people that advertisers want to reach, and we're getting them while they're sitting in their chair reading carefully and slowly page by page. We are going back to what the newspaper used to be in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Mm. Advertisers want those people. And yes, advertising will carry the freight on the Sunday.
And so, speaking of the newspaper the way it used to be, you do talk about your father a lot when you talk about the Sun. What did the paper mean to him?
My dad, I guess his favorite expression was, I'm not a quiet sucker. I see all these things going on, and I don't stay quiet. I don't just let it happen to me. And if you look at the world today, there's a lot of people who are very, very frustrated because stuff is happening to them and they feel powerless to do anything about it. Well, my dad used this newspaper because he wasn't quiet. He spoke out. In fact, he did it almost every day in his column. And when he saw things that he thought were wrong, he'd let people know. He was not a bashful person. So this was his outlet. It was his way to personally respond to what he thought were the injustices. Back in those days, in the early days in Las Vegas, you couldn't walk down the street without finding an injustice. Okay, so he had plenty of fodder. And so what it meant to him, it was a personal vehicle for him to express himself. And by doing that, the town learned a great deal and found a champion, if you will. You know, we all are looking for that champion to address the things that, for whatever reasons, we aren't doing ourselves.
Do you think your father would want the paper to continue, even if it's not making money?
Well, for the first 40 years he had it, it continued and it wasn't making money. So if that's any guide, I would say probably yes. But more importantly, what he wouldn't want is any of his kids. And so it's me right now. He wouldn't want any of his kids doing things that was going to cause a great, serious financial burden to them and their families. That wasn't that important to him, all right? And frankly, it's important to me, but I am not going to let it drag me down. My plan is to make it very valuable. That's my plan. And to make it extremely worthwhile and important to this community. And if we do that, then I don't have to worry about what you say, you know, something that's not going to make money.
Was that a factor for your siblings, where they looked at the same things you looked at and saw something a little bit different, that it could be a financial drain or a financial hardship? I mean, is that a part of the desire last year to dissolve the JOA and close the paper down?
I heard what some of them said, and some of them said that. The question of whether I believe that is an entirely different question, but I'm not going there. Look, everybody has their own way of looking. They didn't grow up in the newspaper business. They grew up with a father who was in the newspaper business. I'm the only one who grew up in the business. You know, I started working there when I was 10, 11 years old, and I worked there, you know, practically forever. So it was in my blood. It probably wasn't in their blood. It was in their family, but it wasn't in their blood. So I don't expect people who don't live, eat, and breathe it to have the same feeling for it that I do. Likewise, you know, if some people in our family were in the real estate business, I think it's fun. You know, I like what it could do, but it wasn't my passion. So I understand if and they would understand if I wanted to get out of real estate and they wanted to get in. Yeah, I'd understand that. People have different likes and needs and wants.
Very often, though, family dynasties, you know, just where the father or parent really establishes the brand, the kids all have it going through their blood to some degree or another. Why just you?
I don't know if it was just me. I think I had more of it, let's say. Maybe too much. You know, maybe they were right and I'm wrong. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm willing to risk it because I believe, frankly, this community does need, as you said before, I think it does need very strong voices. And I would not like to live in a community with only one significant newspaper voice.
Is it going to be easier to run the paper as sole owner and publisher?
Oh, absolutely.
How so?
Because, you know, it's like Harry Truman, the buck starts with me now, the Bucks. And the buck stops with me. The decisions I make, I have to live with every single day. I don't have people, you know, to whom you're accountable. And from a bottom line standpoint, whether I make a dollar or whether I make $10 is going to be totally up to me. There's none of that pressure. So I'll be able to invest what I need to invest, I believe, to make sure we do the best job we can.
We are talking with Brian Greenspun, editor, publisher, and now owner of the Las Vegas Sun and some other magazines as well. He recently purchased full ownership of the paper from his siblings, saving it from almost certain closure. Now, I want to ask you about another business opportunity. You have applied for a medical marijuana dispensary license with Clark County. Why do you want to get into this particular business?
Well, I've applied. First, let me answer why I want to get into this business. One, I believe in the efficacy of medical marijuana. I think there is opportunity there. I hate to admit it, but I'm getting older. And as you get older, you wind up with certain aches and pains you didn't have when you were 40 years old. And one of the things, and it's not certainly the most significant use, but one of the things that has been ballyhooed about medical marijuana is it's a use as an analgesic. Now, I take a lot of Advil. I take a lot of these things that, you know, kill the pain so I can go out and run or play golf or swim or play with my grandkids, whatever it happens to be. They have an impact on your liver. It clearly says on the bottle, be careful how much you take. It could impact your liver. Well, as you get older, you don't want to do anything to impact your liver because I think you need one of those, right, to keep going. So if the analgesic effects of medical marijuana mirror what Advil does, let's say, without the impact on your internal organs, why wouldn't you want to use that? Now, that's just what I call the superficial use. We've all seen the CNN reports that Sanjay Gupta did, the two-part series, where he talked about these little kids with these incredible seizures that no one could stop. Western medicine could do nothing, but marijuana could. And they're just at the tip of the iceberg in terms of the research. No one's really done a lot of it to speak of. As this industry grows, there's going to be a whole lot more research. I liken it to this. They cut the rainforest down every day. They're cutting thousands of acres a day, and we're losing our ability to create oxygen. That's a whole other issue. But in it, when they do that, they find these rare plants that no one ever knew existed. And the big pharma comes in, they swoop up these plants and they investigate it, and they make some new medicine out of it that helps people. If marijuana had been found in the rainforest, the same thing would have happened. But someone grew marijuana. It's a weed. So someone found it and kept growing it and started smoking it. And then the whole reefer madness generation came up.
And PR problems.
So had it come from a different direction, marijuana might have been way, way, way ahead in terms of the research, and we might be using it every single day in our lives, and it wouldn't have been a big deal.
But as you're talking about analgesics and such and some of the side effects they have, am I hearing you talk about medical marijuana, if not just decriminalized marijuana altogether, as a potential user?
I can't wait. I'm telling you, every day I get up, everything hurts. And if it's shown that it has the same analgesic effect, yeah, I will use it, assuming I get the right kind of card. You have to get permission or something. Yeah, I will use it. And here's the other thing to think about. This new generation doesn't care. They didn't grow up with reefer madness. They are going to approve, because they're all coming of voting age, and it's the largest block other than my generation, the baby boomer. So in the next 5 to 10 years, they will be 25-30% of the voters. As they grow older and really start voting, they will approve it, you know, at the ballot box. It's medical marijuana now, in terms of recreational, a couple of states have done that. I think we can learn a whole lot by watching them for a few years, and I think that's a sane course. But it's going to happen. This truck's on the road. So we better figure out how to deal with it. That's my view. And so that I want to get into it. Because I owe a lot to Clark County, and part of what I think I owe is the obligation, the responsibility to get involved in something like this to make sure we don't bring disrepute. And to your question, the first question at the top of this show, is there a business opportunity? This one, I see a business opportunity, and far greater than newspapers.
So
and
you maybe think you could do pretty well with this?
At
this
some business. Point. Yeah, it's going to be a slog for 3 or 4 years, I believe. But assuming things go well, yeah, there's a business opportunity. Imagine what it was like the day after Prohibition when all those guys got around and said, gee, maybe we should open liquor stores. You know, who knows? That worked pretty well, I think.
But I guess maybe what I think there is I think of, I'll say, the Chicago Tribune having a stake in the potential medical alcohol industry or something in the mid-1920s. Do you worry that there's a conflict between being a publisher of a daily newspaper and this field?
I think in this world today, every one of us has a conflict of sorts. Doesn't matter what it is. I've had tons of conflicts in my life. I grew up in a family that was in the television business while we were in the newspaper business. We were in the cable television business while we were in the newspaper. We were in the real estate development while we were in the newspaper business. I was practicing law while I was in the newspaper business. You have to juggle all these things. I think what you do at the end of the day, and in the gaming business while I was in the newspaper business, I think what you do is you err on the side of full disclosure. You let people know what you have and what your interests are. People are smart enough to understand if what you're telling them is the truth and what your opinions are makes sense, as long as they know that, gee, maybe it's tainted by what you know. But I also know that if I were in the medical marijuana business and I was writing about it, people would probably think, my God, maybe he knows something about it because he's in it. That's the other side of that coin.
That's the other side.
So I have no problem with disclosure, and I have no problem with conflicts as long as people know about it.
In our last half minute or so, you've said all discussions to end the joint operating agreement with Stevens Media are on hold. Is there any offer Stevens could make that would make you think about giving up the Sun?
I said earlier, no one knows what the answer is. In the long-term answer, I've got 25 and a half more years and by contract with the Review Journal to be inside the newspaper. I don't know what's on their mind. I hope to find out over the coming years. But if there's a better way for us to provide credible news and information, and if it means adjusting the JOA, I'm open to that. You've got to be. If you're not open to change, you certainly are going to go down.
Brian Greenspun is the editor, publisher, and now 100% owner of the Las Vegas Sun. He recently purchased full ownership of the paper from his siblings. Brian Greenspun, great to have you
back.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.